Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Angelica Koffler.
The story happened sometime in 1987 or early 1988, shortly, a couple of months or so after I had moved to Boca. In the 8 years I was there, I actually met only one native Floridian. Everybody else I came across was from somewhere else, like I was, not everybody from Europe or another country, but at least from NYC. At first, when I came there, I didn't really expect much of a difference in terms of culture compared to European life and Europeans. I didn't know much about the US, even less so about Florida. Most of what I knew was from movies that I grew up with. Before I moved to Boca, I was there only once. So I was rather naive, and everybody who was telling me I'm going to have a culture shock was proven to be wrong. And in fact, I didn't have much of a culture shock, because wherever you go, you tend to surround yourself with people who are similar to you. But still, in everyday life, many things are different, little things. Over the years I lived in Florida, I don't know if my dress code changed, but I certainly heard from Europeans that visited us at that time that I looked more and more American. What they actually meant by that, I never found out. But I guess something had happened to me. And I remember one particular story. I was living across Town Center Mall, right off St. Andrew's Glades, and there was a huge grocery store. Well, at least for Viennese ideas, I considered it huge. And I went there, preferably in the late evening, because that was something really special for Europeans, where stores close a lot earlier. I was dressed for shopping, not in an unusual way in my mind, not out of this way, in a way that I used to dress in the city I came from, which was Vienna. So I certainly didn't run around in pants, in jogging pants, or with curlers on my head. But I probably was slightly overdressed for a tropical climate. And because I was in a hurry, I had guests over in the evening, I parked my car right in front of Publix, which is, of course, forbidden. And I didn't think much about it. I wasn't blocking anybody, and why should anybody care? Huge parking lots in a huge area where space is not really much of an issue. Who would in the world care if I park for just 1 minute? I just had to pick something up quickly. And then some young guy in shorts with a dress shirt and a helmet came on a bike and was talking to me and telling me I shouldn't park there and starting a discussion. I found this guy really obnoxious. I wasn't rude to the guy, but who is this mama's boy telling a grown-up woman where to park and what to do and not to do? And I got more and more defensive, and the more defensive I got, the more angry I got. I really would have liked to shorten him the size of a head or so, but I didn't. I was only going to park there for a minute, just picking up something, whatever it was. And then I just left, went into the store, got my little thing. And a minute later, as I had told this obnoxious little mama's boy, I was back and was ready to drive off. But I had a ticket. The fine wasn't very high, but I really had a ticket. And I was only in Publix for, I don't know, 3 minutes. And then I realized this mama's boy was police. And that's how I learned about Florida dress codes. Dress for success in Florida definitely has a completely different meaning. Police officers can look like the boy next doors. And as I later found out, university professors in Florida don't wear suits and ties. They wear flip-flops and they wear shorts or hippie outfits. And if you need indicators for a profession or status or whatever in Florida, you will have a difficult time to find out about it.
Angelica Koffler with a story about getting a ticket.
Yes, and not just getting a ticket, but getting a, how shall we say this, a comeuppance, an education, a reality check.
I suppose in Austria you're allowed to park directly in front of your food stores.
Well, I like that you brought that up first, Michael, because although Angelica does say that she did not suffer culture shock of any kind, and everybody said she would, I'm going to suggest politely that the kind of experience she had was not just a European coming to South Florida, but a city person coming to the suburbs, right? Because in a city, if you find an empty space right in front of the place you're going, you grab it and you don't think twice, right? In the suburbs, you know that there's something wrong if you find an empty space right in front of where you're going. Probably, with a few exceptions, you're not supposed to park there. So I think this was, maybe culture shock is too strong of a word, but an education in more than one way.
Well, she knew she was parking in the wrong place because she said she was only going to be 1 minute or 3 minutes. Her mistake was thinking this obnoxious boy was just an obnoxious boy.
Well, that's true, too. And I have to say that I have come up against this dress code question many times when somebody, particularly my husband, will say, "What should I wear to the restaurant? Do I have to wear long pants? Do I have to wear a coat?" Now, he's been living in South Florida 35 years. And I say to him every time the same thing. We're in South Florida. You can wear anything you want, pretty much, with a few exceptions, maybe if you're going to a five-star restaurant.
You don't see many police officers in short pants, unless in South Florida.
Well, I see the mailman wears short pants. Although she doesn't emphasize this in the story, I think it was a very telling detail, is the bicycle. Sometimes a storyteller, because she's doing a beautiful job setting a scene, expressing, describing what she's seeing, she may not notice or he may not notice what actually the significance is of that detail. She's explaining what she sees. Well, maybe if he had come out of a police car, that would have been a clue, right? But the fact that he put down his kickstand or something like that, the whole setting was just so incongruous that, of course, she would be confused. It makes perfect sense.
And she is not someone I want to mess with. The way she described the obnoxious boy as being a mama's boy, she's lucky she didn't get arrested.
Yes, I know. And I think perhaps, and you can tell this from the beautiful accent, and you can tell this by the very fluid and a very articulate way that she tells the story, I think perhaps her charm may have had something to do with this, because clearly this cop was not an idiot. He knew that this was a foreigner, and he knew that this was somebody who was obviously not on the same wavelength. You know, she was just completely on a different way of thinking than he was.
He was trying to get her to move the car.
I know. But I really would love to have known what kind of ticket he gave her. Was it $50? Was it $75? Or was it a $10 ticket just because he had to do something? I'm sure that as much as she remembers this story 20 years later, I'll bet you that he went home or went back to the station and said, "You're not going to believe what happened today. Somebody thought she could park right in front of Publix."
And I think Angelica also learned a lesson as well, and that is to park correctly.
Well, I don't know, because she was only here 8 years, she says, and maybe she left because she just couldn't stand the parking rules. Although I'm teasing, because actually, and again, this is a city versus suburb thing as much as a U.S. versus Europe or a Boca Raton versus Vienna thing. She did make the point, there's so much space to park. The stores are so big. They're open at night. So in other words, there is so much here that I think it makes perfect sense that she would have thought, why are you begrudging me this little thing when you have so much, so few limitations, and yet you're limiting me in this way? So I think there are many, many threads beneath the surface in this story. And speaking of threads, this is a story about what you wear. And I love that she mentioned dress for success means different things.
So maybe she didn't learn to park in a correct place. She learned to recognize policemen when they don't seem like policemen.
Or perhaps a theme in this story is to not judge books by their covers and people by their clothing, and that we really need to re-examine the context or the paradigm. This was obviously a paradigm shift in this story between an obnoxious mama's boy do-gooder who was doing something that was none of his business and a cop who was doing something that was completely his business.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email, cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or our website has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks a lot, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.